Welcome back to The Professional Church Worker. This is Tyler.
Hello.
You want to introduce me?
And this is Luke.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. Today we are talking about healthy practices when you're entering a new call.
And whether that's your first call, so healthy practices for your first year in ministry or your first church, or you're transitioning into a new congregation. It's your second call, maybe even your third call. I do think by the time you're at your third, fourth, fifth call, you should know these things.
Hopefully, but it's always a good refresher.
But this is a great reminder, a great refresher. But I think this is definitely going to resonate the most with those who are in there going into their first, second, or third call. Because I think even going into your second call, it's kind of like your first call all over again. Because, oh, I know all this stuff now. I know how church ministry works. And then you realize, well, churches are also very different in who and how they operate and who you're working with. So, should we get started?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Things I wish I knew when stepping into church work or into a new call. We could do a whole episode on this.
We could.
So, Luke, do you have anything that you wish you would have known or would have better prepared you for your first call? Now, Luke, I will say, Luke has a little bit of a different experience with interning and then being called.
Right.
I was called to a church I did an internship at, and the internship program I went through was much less involved than what you went through. I'm a Concordia, Wisconsin graduate. Graduated from the lay ministry program. We should have shared that in our video. All right. Lay ministry program, which is now the director of
church ministries,
church ministry, DCM.
Yeah.
And Luke, you graduated from
Concordia, Chicago.
Yep.
From the DCE program.
And you had a 1 year internship?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 12 months.
And I had an internship that just was during my classes. Like I would pop into a church. Yeah. Do youth group, do different stuff like that. And then my mission, I did a missions internship as well. And that was just, I went to China and I wrote a paper on it and I shared those.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My background is youth and missions as far as my degree is concerned. I have done a lot of missions as well. But things I wish I knew. Luke, you want to start us with one thing you wish you knew?
I wish I had a better understanding of patience in getting things started and rolling. Like, I feel like we emphasize building relationships, you know, that's your first step. But at the same time, I was like trying to jump in and do everything. And obviously that was my first call. So, I mean, there's a part of that mixed in with it. But, you know, just easing into it. And you know, your perspective, having multiple calls is going to be a little bit different than mine for sure. Mm-hmm. But I believe that no matter where you're starting out at, you know, easing into understanding how the paradigm of ministry works in the congregation.
Yep.
You know, you have an understanding of what ministry should be, but as you've said already, it's different everywhere. Yeah.
I think one I'd share with that is that kind of burned me right in the first. And it wasn't all bad, but to make sure that you're communicating what you're doing with the congregation. You could be doing the greatest ministry ever, right? You could have tons of adults in Bible study, or tons of kids at youth group, or tons of kids involved in your children's church or whatever you do for that. Or, you know, maybe you're a mission coordinator and you lead tons of people on a mission trip, or you're a worship director, and you have a waiting list for people playing in worship, or you're writing hymns that are being published. I don't know. Like, you could be doing all these awesome, awesome things that are extending the gospel. Mm-hmm. Or preparing people to grow in their faith or for professional ministry or whatever that is, right? But if the congregation or even people don't know that that's going on, it can kind of bite you in the butt, to be frank, I guess. If they don't see stuff happening, even if they're choosing not to be involved, there can kind of start being whispers or conversations or like, what does this person do here?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to say that's like the negative side, but it can be tough when like you're working your butt off and I've done that. But I wasn't great at bringing things in the channels that we have to communicate, whether it's social media or in worship, or worship slides, or pastoral announcements, or some churches have us do the announcements, celebrating, oh, the youth just went on this trip, or oh, we just had a mission trip, or oh, Women's Bible Studies doing this, keeping ministries visible, I think is very under-taught. You're not really taught that.
Right.
And I think if you can do that from the beginning, the congregation gets excited and you just have more support versus I'm doing my job. Why do I have to, like, you hired me to do my job, I'm doing my job. But then you kind of start to feel like people are watching you and not trusting you. And maybe that's not, maybe they should just trust you, but to share with the most people possible what you're doing sets you up for the most support and success.
Agreed. Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, and for me at least, I won't speak for you, Tom, but when I like let's say it's picking something other than youth. Let's say it's a parenting class.
Mm-hmm.
Or a parenting retreat. That's probably even a better idea because that's a little bit bigger. You get to the end of it, and it's like, oh gosh, you know, I'm tired, but I feel fulfilled. You know, I'm glad it's done too, because you know it's a lot of work. I don't want to then have to be like, okay, I got to report to this to the congregation or put pictures and things up, you know, and tell the story. But it is so important, so important. Mm-hmm. And you know, you emphasized. Receiving then support from the congregation, because when they see you doing good things, whatever it happens to be, they're more likely to be involved themselves or financially. I mean, you know, that's not what it's all about, but you know, you're able to further those things when you have that. So yeah, that's so
pretty and good. It prompts volunteers too. Like people get excited. Yeah. If you're doing something that they think is cool or they think is good and they have a background in it or a passion for it, kind of pulls volunteers out for you. I feel like we could do a whole thing on things I wish I knew in my first year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. it may become that. Who knows?
It may become that. Yeah. This might be part one. Yeah. I wasn't sure. So do we want to share any more of things we wish we knew, or do we want to jump into
I'm really passionate about that that other one I have there that, you know, some people will just not be interested in you.
Nope. Some people won't even like you.
It's true. It's true.
and if you met me and him, come on.
We are so like
you. Not going to like us as all of you roll your eyes right now.
But, you know, my biggest example of this, I think, is graduation party season. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I am invited to every high school graduation party, you know, that has any ties to our church, even if they're not members, like they're cousins of members. And so sometimes they come, you know, and, going to those graduation parties is, I'll be honest, I don't really enjoy it. If some of my members are watching this right now, they might be like, what? Because this is not all of my youth or anything like that.
There are
some that just, you know, they don't necessarily dislike me, although maybe some of them do. Mm-hmm. But they're just, you know, okay, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And so it's just sort of awkward.
Yeah.
And when I was early in ministry, mm-hmm. that hurt.
Yeah.
And it sucked because, like, mm-hmm. you want everyone to be involved.
Yeah.
You want, you want numbers and you want people to find value in what you're doing. And that the reality is that not everyone is going to find value in it. Not everyone is going to even just be interested in it. And, you know, if it's youth or if it's families, it doesn't mean that they're not Christian or they're bad kids or whatever. You know, they just don't put the same value on it. And,
exactly.
And we want to continue to offer those things. But I think as church workers, we have to get to a point where we continue to invite them. We continue to mm-hmm. want them to be involved. But we still have to be okay when some of them are.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there are, I think you have families that gravitate more towards you,
right.
And students that do too. And then on the flip side of thing, you sometimes are like, why are you coming to youth group? And that sounds so bad. But I mean, like, there are kids that are there and you try to engage and you try and then it's like, well, their parent makes them come, which I make my daughter come.
Yeah.
But you struggle with, like, hopefully that, like, they're hearing me or whatever. But understanding you're it's hard to win with everyone.
Right.
And so something I would say to that is that's why it's great to have volunteers who aren't like you. And I've started to realize that.
For sure.
So I am realizing as we talk, we still have a good amount of time left, but I'm thinking where this is going to turn into 2 to 3 videos. At first I wasn't of transitioning into ministry or into a new ministry. So I'm just going to say that now.
Yeah.
Do you think, all right. So I like this, things I wish I knew. And I think we can fill another 10 minutes with that. Luke and I do not struggle with words. So I know that annoys many, many of you who know me. It annoys my wife. It annoys my coworkers. I am a chatty Cathy.
It doesn't annoy me.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So, and I hope a couple of our words are resonating with y'all. Another thing that I wish I would have known in ministry in my first year, you kind of alluded to it, or you mentioned it already, but the numbers game.
Mm.
Numbers are a way of measuring, but they are not the end-all, be-all, do-all. And I do think historically they've been, I think historically in ministry, that's been the mark, the judge. How are you doing? That's one of the number one questions you get from how many kids are showing up to youth group.
Yep.
That's kind of a question you hear often.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids went on that trip? How many, like, and that's a quick way to be like, oh, a lot of kids, you're doing a good job. Oh, you only got 6 kids. You're not doing a good job. And like that is, I still struggle with numbers. I'm sure you do. There's times where it's like, where are the kids? What did I do?
I celebrate when we have lots there.
Yes, I know.
Which, okay, we should celebrate ministry in that.
Yes.
You know, depending on who you do that to, if you've got those kids that are the ones that come every time,
it
even when there's just 3.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Early in ministry, I would say, you know, it's a low night, and I'd go up to my kid, hey, do you know where Amy is? Do you know where Julie is? And it's like, you know, do you know where Mark is? And they're like, no. And I know in their head they're thinking, well, I'm here. And so, like, you have to be careful with playing the numbers game. But, like, something that's helped me and now being in my third parish call, during the interview process, the call process, I said, hey, I'm not a numbers guy. Now, that doesn't save you by saying, oh, I'm never going to have any kids. Like, But that's saying I'm not a quantity of students showing up to an individual event. My numbers are based on the amount of students that I am in contact with or in relationship with to make sure that they know about the opportunities, that they know I'm here to pray for them and that I care about them and that I am an additional spiritual adult who's available in their life to come to. And I told the call committee, I said, my job is I want to be available to students when they're, I want to be able to catch them when they're falling.
Yeah.
And be an additional support alongside their families, alongside our pastor, alongside our teachers. And so I look at numbers of contacts I have with students. So weekly, our students all get messages from me asking for prayer requests. Some of those kids I have not seen in 6 months, but they will say, hey, Tyler, I got a big math test coming up. Can you pray for it? I'm like, done. So that is just them knowing, hey, you got someone praying for you. I had another student recently who came. I haven't seen them in a while. And I just let them know, I said, it's great to see you. I care about you. I value you. And he's like, I'm starting to realize more people value me than I understand. And that's what it's about. It's not about guilting kids to come to youth group. Yeah. You can't guilt. Most of, like, if I always say, if parents want their kids there, they'll be there. If kids want to be there, they'll be there. And sometimes kids want to be there, but they, something comes up or they want to do this. So it's like, we have to stop having the number of kids showing up to one event be the standard and more, how are you pursuing students?
Yeah.
Are you walking around after church and just talking to the, and I shouldn't just say, sorry, I should be very careful because I'm pertaining this to student ministry, but it's also like, we don't have enough adults in Bible study. We don't have enough adults in our small groups. We don't have enough small groups. We don't have enough people sign up for the mission trip. Like, whatever it is, make sure you're pouring into as many people as possible. But pouring into people looks very different than that one big event.
Absolutely.
It's easy to do a big fun event, but is it growing and connecting people with Christ?
Right. Right.
Because if it's a numbers game, I can throw some big fun events that kids will come to, but that isn't relational ministry. And I think relational ministry is where we need to be meeting people at, not the, and that's little kids all the way up to our seniors.
Absolutely.
And
don't discount, you know, what God is doing. Even when you have something where one person shows up. You know, I've done some parenting classes, some like one-off Saturday morning things where, you know, we've got the sign up for months and nobody signs up, nobody signs up, nobody signs up. And then, you know, one dad comes.
Yeah.
And the conversations and the impact that he has on me and I'm able to have, you know, as we discuss whatever the topic is.
Yeah.
Is phenomenal. Yep. And, you know, you can leave there. I think you can leave there one of two ways. You can leave there going, you know, only one showed up. And was that really worth my time? Or, you know, God worked in that relationship, in that moment right there to have an impact on the family that he's going home.
Exactly. But also using the numbers as a pulse, right? As a way to track what you're doing. And so if everything you do is one person coming to it,
agreed.
You really got to be like, all right, what and how can I connect with people on a greater level? One way, like Luke and I right now, we're trying to connect with more people on YouTube.
Sure.
Like, and that's one way we're trying to connect with people. And so like some churches put out videos and that's a great way they connect. And as far as the numbers game is concerned, last week we do Sunday night youth group at our church for our high school students. I had 6 students come. Week before that, I had 24 students come. Guess what? The Lions game, which, sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. They're relevant, which is great for all you Michiganders. I'm a Packer fan. I do apologize. Now you might quit watching.
I didn't know that.
Just kidding. Grew up in Wisconsin. I'm loyal to my team. I'm glad you Lions fans are loyal to your team. But like, we had a lot of families watching the game. Yeah. This is historic. It's like, this is a historic time. It's not just like
it happens like every other year with the Packers. It doesn't happen every other year.
But in Wisconsin, when I served at a congregation in Wisconsin, we didn't have youth group on Sundays because every game, all the kids are watching the game with their families. Like, we couldn't do youth group on Sundays because of the culture. So part of it is identifying like what things you're going to be up against. But the night we had six kids, those kids are like, man, this is nice. We had better conversation, more opportunity to just like have a deeper conversation where, you know, when we have 25 kids can kind of hide, right? Like, we don't break into small groups a lot of churches should. And I shouldn't say should. It's one thing you can do. You do big group discussion, you do small group discussion. There's benefits to both. But understanding your culture and how that affects numbers as well can help you realize, you know what? I know where my students are. I know they still care about growing in their faith. I know they're so passionate about ministry. I know where my adults are. I know that this happening. This is why a lot of them couldn't sign up for this event. Or I know this is a great event for families with small kids, but the weather was really bad and whatever. And also looking at, hey, we're doing an event with families. Maybe we should provide childcare. Maybe it helps you learn and shape. But I think that's something I learned, like, numbers cannot be the end all be all, but it's tough because you have to sometimes report your numbers to your senior pastor, to your boards, to your people. But if you present it in a way, like I was saying, like, hey, I talked to 30 different kids this month. Consistent worship is once a month. That's what the new definition of consistent worship. Yeah. And so I try to educate parents and pastors. I'm like, well, if you guys are in church once a month and my youth are on a rotating cycle where I see 30 kids once a month, I'm actually doing pretty good because their parents are modeling what it looks like to be a faith walker and then preparing parents in that. So again, we're running out of time. So we're going to have a part two and maybe a part three.
Yeah.
But those are a couple things that we would say, I wish I knew my first year.
First year or going into a call.
So we will see you shortly for part two of this, but thank you again for joining us here on The Professional Church Worker. Have a wonderful day.